Welcome to Tool World. We're your hosts. I'm Gordon Ju.
And I'm David Ju, and we're here to discuss everything about IGF patterns. If you're interested in learning more, make sure to like the podcast. All right, welcome back to the Tool World podcast. I'm your host, David Ju, and I'm here with Master Ju.
Hello there, Mr. Ju.
Hello, hello.
Don't forget, this is a podcast.
Right, so we got to describe those techniques quite accurately.
No, sometimes we get, can you demonstrate these things? Well, this is supposed to be a podcast, and you're not really a video cast, and that's why we can't demonstrate it, because most of our listeners are on the podcast.
Right. Well, we make these videos so that maybe we might get some extra people to watch it, you know?
Might watch it.
Because, you know, not everyone listens to podcasts.
Laugh at your hairdo, those kind of things.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to dress up for this.
Right.
If it was just a podcast,
yeah,
like in the old days.
You mean like 2 years ago?
Was it two or three? It might be 3 years
when
ago.
When we first started the podcast.
Well, you were,
but I would just
you
wear,
were in college.
Yeah,
before
I would just
COVID.
Wear like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I would just wear like pajamas. I wouldn't say those podcasts were too good either.
Go back and listen to it. But
Don't want to listen to them.
You know what? I think when I look at our podcast analytic, Chanji is like the biggest, that's like one of the very first podcasts we ever did.
Oh, really?
It has the most listened view on it. Views. Most listened on it. And it's one of those old, probably an hour long, because we've reduced these down to
10 minutes. But we are getting more listeners on these.
Because it's shorter?
On average. No. Just like more people clicking on it, listening, watching.
And they're going back to the listening podcast. To the Chanji.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways, we got to keep their attention engaged here. Right. And let's move forward.
All right, let's move forward.
Before they quit out of this.
That's true.
Anyways, so today we're going to be looking at bending ready stance B. I had some questions on it.
Bending ready stance B. What is it exactly?
Well, I was watching myself do the pattern, and I noticed, firstly, when I was doing bending ready stance B, that the knee was straight forward and the leg was almost straight down. So do I need to bring that heel towards the bottom, or can it point down? We'll start there. Let's start there.
Okay, so I think we still got to understand what is these bending ready stance. Like bending ready stance A, right? That's the intermediate position for a side piercing kick, or side kicks, I guess should say that, right? And bending ready stance B is really the intermediate position for the back kick.
Right.
Okay, so if I'm going to do any kicks, really the knee is up. It's like,
yeah, so the knee is up by the belt.
Up, right.
But is the leg that's straight down, or do I try to pull the heel towards the bottom?
Yeah, so I think that you want to pull it close. Not a 90-degree angle.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you're going to try to tuck it the foot close, because you want to compact that.
Right.
And then you execute the kick. But not a 90 degrees, if you think
straight
of it.
Down.
So knees up, and then the leg is straight down. I don't think that's the way it should be done. Knees up, but the leg is positioned, and you're going to pull that foot back for the, let's say, the back piercing kick. You're going to position the foot in that position, so that is the intermediate position for that particular kick.
Okay.
All
right.
That answered that question. But you had other questions.
I did have some other questions. We're going to look at Moon Moo.
Okay.
Right. And so your right knee is up in a one leg stance.
Okay.
And then you drop it down into a bending ready stance. In between those two movements, do I extend the leg down and then bring it back up so that you're actually getting kind of like a knee snap as you're coming upwards? Or do I just drop that weight into the bending ready stance B?
Again, that kind of comes down to how your instructor teaches it.
Right.
So I teach it where you drop your weight down and your knee comes up.
Oh, like so you actually want me to extend the leg down?
Well,
like slightly.
Slightly,
maybe?
But like the bend, how will you perform a bend?
But your knee was already up.
Because
you're in a one leg stance.
Right.
You know, side block, knees up. So you sometimes go straight down and then come back up.
Yes. I would say that.
You would say that.
I would say that. So okay. You're getting that kind of a jerking motion, kind of like the binary stance A. Because your leg is kind of, it's up, like in the one leg stance is up. And then you drop the weight, but you've, in order to get that kind of a snapping type movement,
you have to extend the leg.
You have to extend the leg. But that's an interesting concept or interesting thought. So I'm only doing it because it's very similar to binary stance A. Why do we actually bring that knee in that quick motion? Is because you're also doing a guarding block with the outer forearm in the bin,
right.
Like in Wanyu, right? So do you still do the same thing? Because are you doing a...
Well, you have to
double,
block.
Right.
Right, so...
You're doing a binary stance B, and the arm is like a double side block with the outer forearm.
Right.
So that's done in a kind of like a movement. Although, again, these binary stance is really more like a
ready position.
A ready, intermediate position for a particular kick.
Right.
Right? So, yes, I would extend and bring it up. Okay. Drop the weight.
Right. It's just
slightly.
Interesting. Just slightly. It's interesting because the next one you do, you don't really have that issue because you're in a walking stance. So in order to get that leg up, it has to... It's already extended, so it just brings it up, right?
Right.
So, you know, you just have some different similarities and differences between these two.
Right, right. But they kind of have to be the same. You don't really change one for the other because of different circumstances.
Right.
I mean, I guess you do. Is it black and white like that? No, I don't know if it's quite black and white like that all the time.
Right, okay. All right, now third question I have is, again, this is just all up to interpretation of your instructor, and we're just going through different kind of possibilities for it.
Right.
Is the bending ready stance, do you have that knee straight forward or turned to the side? So you see a little bit both variations of it, and there are some validities to both.
Yeah, right? So I think when you look at the encyclopedia and what I was taught is that the bending ready stance B, the knee is up. Just like binary stance A, the knee is up forward.
Right.
And your foot is in the position for that. I think what you're talking about is sometimes you see the binary stance B where the knee is kind of pointed out, maybe a 45 degree angle. Right.
And I think the reasoning behind that is because you're preparing for like a back piercing kick.
Right.
And the back piercing kick, that foot is kind of turned to the side. So maybe you're going to keep that knee kind of angled so they're just going to go straight back.
But then you would... If that was the case, then you would also kind of have to say that is true with the binary stance A. Because the binary stance A, you still have to chamber that knee across towards the chest. And some people actually do it that way. They actually do the binary stance A where the knee is pointed like 90 degrees off to the other direction, right? And then they execute the kick. But then that's more like a side pushing kick, right? That's a different topic. And so I think that the way you execute a back piercing kick, the knee is up. But of course, the knee has to chamber because you can't actually look and maintaining. Because back kicks, I mean, we have to understand what back kicks are. Back kicks are really techniques that go towards the back. Right? Side kicks are going to my flank and front kicks are going to the front. So we have different types of back kicks. Right? Back piercing kick. So it's going towards my back. I have to be able to look, but when I look, my body, it's not like I can turn my head all the way around unless I was Linda Blair in The Exorcist. Can't do that.
Right.
So my body has to, my body has to turn as well, slightly,
right,
to be able to see. And then as I'm doing that, my knee would then kind of move chamber in that position for that side piercing kick, and then it would go out. I do believe that the knee is in that position at some point in time.
Like with the knee turned out.
Kind of turned out,
right? Turns out, right.
How much does it turn out? Well, no, I'm not sure if it's to be too much, right? But I do believe that the knee is slightly turned out before you execute the kick. But the binary stance B, should the binary stance B be in that, already in that position and then start to kick? Or is it straightforward? So in the book, in the encyclopedia, the knee is forward. straightforward.
Right.
Just like binary stance A, the knee is forward, and then it chambers in front and then goes out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
So is that right or wrong? Mm-hmm. Again, I think it depends on your instructor, mm-hmm. depends on your umpires, how you're gonna execute it.
Yeah.
Is it right or wrong?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like, now I heard someone talk about the side piercing kick. Well, when you look at side, listen to the Korean version of side piercing kick, upja jorgi, right?
Yopja
jorgi. Yopja jorgi.
My up is, you know, front. It cannot be a front kick.
But it's the rotation of the technique is what it is, right? Mm. So when you think of it like that particular idea, the foot would be straight up, and then you rotate the foot where the toes would be up, and then it rotates down. So then you have that piercing or that rotation of the attacking tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can buy that. I don't know if my foot would be actually straight up and down
right.
like that. I think mm-hmm. it is slightly up, and then it's got to rotate into it. Same mm-hmm. in the binary stance B. I just don't think that it should be all the way at that position, or binary stance A.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should be chambered
right.
first and then execute.
Gotcha. It's going to rotate kind of throughout the kick.
So at some point,
mm-hmm.
I believe that position is there.
Yeah.
But when you perform that particular pattern, the knee should be up straight forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's going to be the way, that depends on how it's being taught and who's teaching it.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, well, let us know your guys' thoughts on
bending
ready stance B. And as always, don't forget to be safe.
Keep training.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Taekwon.
Thanks for listening to our podcast.
We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope to see you next time.